If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
So what was, let me finish. You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right?
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get
NIH,
one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's endemic.
So the definition of gain of function is different now. I'm just trying to keep track of all of the different definitions for words because it's changing. We are in an era where definitions for words are whatever you want them to be. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you this Tuesday. I feel like I have to guess on the days because sometimes so many of them, they seem the same. You know, it's like another day that ends in Y. So that was a pretty sassy exchange there between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci. And I'm all about those exchanges. This is why C-SPAN exists, because it is the soap opera of DC. It's like watching that was the original reality TV, C-SPAN. Yeah. And the soap opera of the political fighting and bickering and the, you know, the digs. At one point, I like it that Rand Paul was starting to get a little flummoxed and he said manimals, which I like, and that's a verbal typo and it should stay. But as I said, welcome. It's good to be with you this Tuesday, danalash.com. Make sure that you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. I have a couple of pieces coming out for you today. Additionally, you can also stream the app or stream the show from the app, the Odyssey app. And no apologies, 5 p.m. Eastern, no, Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. A lot of time zone stuff. So the Rand Paul Fauci exchange, that is, I mean, I get what Paul's saying there, because he is right. I mean, that is, I'm not a scientist, but I think that when something gains an additional action that it didn't have previously, you could call that a gain of function. I mean, that's something that you can say. You can't say gain of function with that. You're gaining a new activity, or a new action. So that is a gain of function. We have to baby step these definitions. But I think Senator Paul was right. He is also a doctor. I think people tend to forget that he actually also has a medicinal background. He is a studied man. But all of this, I read this piece the other, I have it in here. I have a million links in here today. Way more links than we need, but you know, it is what it is. I saw a story, or an editorial rather, that was asking whether or not masks are here permanently. I think that's a fair question to ask. Are masks here permanently? Because when all of this first began, and I wrote about this, I think sometime around December, of last year, I think, or November of last year. That's when everyone was being discouraged to see family for Thanksgiving. And we went almost, well, we went about a year not seeing our parents and our kids not seeing their grandparents. And it was really rough. And the, I think I have my Substack piece linked here. The question that I had asked was, are people not going to recognize and acknowledge that this is a virus, and you're not, just like with any virus, you're never going to eradicate a virus. The only thing that you can do is adapt, and you can be proactive, but you're not going to be able to actually get rid of it, because it's a virus. It's not bacteria. It's not, you know, just a simple organism that can be killed. It's a virus. So adaptability and being proactive is something that I think a lot of people have incorporated into their lives and in this return to normalcy, but not everyone has done that. And I feel like we're almost being discouraged now to continue doing it, because you have now, I know that they're debating this for kids, and Randy Weingarten, who is head of the American Federation of Teachers, is out there saying, well, kids are going to need to be masked, and that's actually contradictory to what the CDC is saying, and also I think contradictory to what the World Health Organization has been saying too. So everyone's kind of all over the place, and everyone's, I think, worried about the Delta variant, which is less virulent than the original strain, as we discussed. But nobody's answering the questions. I would love to see a press conference from the White House where all of the doctors and the scientists and everybody else, all of the epidemiologists, everyone, they're all lined up, and questions are asked, like, why is it that the vaccines seem to work better on some people than others? And is there like a genetic marker or somebody like predisposed to perhaps, if they've been vaccinated, to be still susceptible to the Delta variant? And as I said yesterday, and I was actually checking in on one of my friends, I have two friends, one who's vaccinated, one who isn't, both got it. My friend who's vaccinated got it, and their symptoms are the same. And they're not super severe. Neither of their symptoms are super severe, but they're the same. I have so many questions because of this. And like I said, I'm not against vaccines at all. I'm against the government making me do anything, whether it's if the government wants you to wear something on your face or inject something into your arm. I don't like the government telling you what to consume or what not to consume, et cetera. Just, you know, stay with what you're supposed to do. But I would love to see a press conference where all these questions are asked and answered, where there's some transparency. I think in the beginning, if people had just been outright about it and had not worried about, well, we want to make sure that masks are available for frontline workers, and you know, I think if they had just been transparent about it from the get-go, there would not be this absence of trust between people and between these professionals in the medical field that we are supposed to be able to rely on to guide us through this. And so I just, why are there no press conferences? Jen Psaki's out there every single day. I mean, is someone not telling the administration, just bring some people out, just to answer these questions? Because the press, what does the press do? The press politicizes it because so many people run for just whatever is, you know, confirmation bias. Other people will go to other medical professionals that like to seek that kind of attention because they want to also be political about it as well. So where do you go? Where do you turn to for, I mean, I've looked on the CDC website, I've looked on WH, I've looked at all of these, and I actually have questions that the answers are not online, or at least on their websites. So in absence of any real concrete information, people, of course, are going to speculate, and you cannot blame people for speculating. All you had to do was give them information. Honestly, if they were to come out and said, look, here's what's up. So we got these vaccines, we have the Moderna, we have Pfizer, we have Johnson & Johnson. You know, there's some clot issues maybe with some Johnson & Johnson. Here are the stats on that. You know, the mRNA stuff, super brand new, never done on a wide scale like this. Yeah, we had this speedy kind of trial period. It's emergency authorization. You know, that's neither here nor there. It's not a thumbs down or a thumbs up on the efficacy or, you know, the safety of it. It's just that's where it is in the process of getting approved by the FDA, and we had to do the emergency. If they were just like honest about all of this from the get-go, I bet you a lot of people would have been like, you know, I feel like I have enough information to weigh the risks myself and then make that decision. And I think that the numbers would be very different. But from the get-go, it was really, really politicized. Because you, when Trump was talking about it, Operation Warp Speed, there were people saying, oh my gosh, Warp Speed, it's too fast. And then they said, oh, he was talking about injecting bleach. We played that. We actually carried that live on air, if memory serves. Did we not? Wasn't that like an afternoon event that he had, and we carried that speech live? And we listened to it, and we kind of chuckled because we knew he was joking. And then everyone else is like, oh my gosh, he said literally to eat bleach. And I'm just thinking, here we go. Here we go. And so then you had the now vice president say that she didn't know she would be able to trust any kind of vaccine that went through that process. And I just, this is people's health, right? People just want to be able to have the information to make decisions for themselves and their families. And the fact that it's been so politicized is an absolute travesty. It really is. I mean, there are some times when can you just drop the politics for 5 seconds and just focus on getting people the information that they need? That's what we want. This is why people hate D.C. This is why people hate media. This is why media, they had a study that came out end of last week or yesterday morning that showed the United States was at the bottom of a list of like 49 other countries in terms of faith in media and credibility in media. That's a big deal. So that's just one of the things that we're watching today. Also, Chuck Schumer is setting up a big showdown for the infrastructure bill on Wednesday, although Republicans say that this vote will likely fail, according to The Hill. Senate Republicans say that they're not going to agree to move forward. Now, they say they scaled it down. And so when you're talking about scaling something down, that usually means, well, we're going to deduct $5 off of this $11 trillion proposal. So Schumer says that they're going to start debate on Wednesday. So all the votes that you see on Wednesday, that's going to be the procedural votes to get debate started. It's not, they're not actually voting on it Wednesday. But a lot of Republicans said that they're going to withhold any support even for beginning discussion on the bill. So they're not going to have the 60 votes necessary to kick off debate on this bill. It's $1.2 trillion, eight year proposal. And Democrats are concerned. They say that Republicans are looking to run out the clock. Republicans are concerned because they say, look, this thing isn't even written and there is no proposal for offset spending. There's nothing. If we're spending this much money, where is it coming from? Because we're not cutting spending elsewhere. And that's pretty significant. I do think it's weird to even start debate on a bill that's not even written yet. What are you debating? What is it that? And remember also this infrastructure package is a lot more than just infrastructure, because everything is infrastructure, Kane, right? My coffee is infrastructure. Everything is infrastructure now, because we are in, again, reminder, new era, words have different meanings. I love that. Just make it whatever I want. Like if I don't like something, I can just call it misinformation. Right. Just misinformation. Disco is misinformation. Wide-legged pants from the 90s, that's misinformation. Middle parts, Kane, are misinformation. Yes. Do you know that? Yep. The whole pleated mom front jeans, which I have no idea why girls my son's age are wearing these jeans. Ladies, please do not make the faux pas that we did in the 90s, okay? I'm telling you, as a 90s teen, please don't. Like, we looked ridiculous. Just spare yourself. That's misinformation. Those jeans are misinformation. Just going to point that out there. So it's in a precarious state, the infrastructure deal. All right, a couple of other things to get into as well. I can't even believe we're already through this first segment because I'm not all the way through. I have some tech stuff because Marjorie Taylor Greene was suspended, and that's the reason why I brought up misinformation. The allegation is that she was sharing coronavirus misinformation. What coronavirus misinformation was she sharing? We will discuss that coming up. We have Quick Five on the way, and I watched the Jeff Bezos go up with the sub or in the suborbital flight. All joking about the shape of the aircraft aside, can I be honest? I thought he would like hang out in space a little bit longer. I mean, it's still cool. Don't get me wrong. I think it's cool. But that's me not knowing exactly what he was doing. And I just thought, wait a minute, that's it? He just came right back down? I thought he was going to at least high-five an alien, something. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all-new delicious vitamin D3 chews. use. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of two bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right. So a couple of headlines here. In France, if you enter a bar with no coronavirus vaccine pass, or I guess not passport, but a pass, you could actually face 6 months in jail. That's way crazy. So people in France who enter a bar or restaurant without a coronavirus pass could potentially, I'd like to actually read this, the statute, face 6 months in jail. And business owners who do not check the status face a 1 year prison sentence. And they also could get hit with a 5-figure fine. President Emmanuel Macron announced earlier this week that those unable to prove that they are vaccinated or have a negative test at their own cost will be banned. See, I will say, if you want to do a negative test or do a temperature check, whatever floats your own boat. If I don't want anything out of your business, I just won't go in it. But at the same time, if you're going to mandate that somebody actually have a, that's weird to me. That's going into a place I don't like to go. Anyway, that's like a really authoritarian move. I thought Macron was kind of moving in the right position, but very interesting piece from Time Magazine. They note that with the increase in crime against the Asian American community, Asian Americans are now purchasing firearms at a super ridiculously rapid pace, which I always say 2A is for everybody. Everybody has a right to self-defense. And I mean, really, ultimately, those communities that are really that face this the most really should get out there and make sure that they're exercising their right of self-defense. Go and get some training. Go purchase a firearm. Test out stuff you like. Go get some training. And even do some like sport course stuff. It's really fun. Liquid animal protein. A truck carrying liquid animal protein spilled a partial load, closed a portion of a Carolina road in Suffolk County. I don't even know what liquid animal protein means. And a microbiologist says your bed might be a germ-filled petri dish. Ew. Stay with us.
More Americans died from drug overdoses last year than any year on record. Yet parents and kids are not being educated on the crisis, and there seems to be no real plan to address it. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, former DEA official Derek Maltz joins me to discuss just how big a problem this really is and what can be done to fight back. Don't miss this really important conversation. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
What is your understanding of the biggest difference between what they've done versus what Russia's done in terms of cyber hacking?
That'd take a longer explanation.
We have all the time in the world.
No, we don't. I have to go see the King of Jordan.
Mr. President.
To the best of my knowledge, and I'm getting a report tomorrow morning on this, a detailed report. My understanding is that the Chinese government, not unlike the Russian government, is not doing this themselves, but are protecting those who are doing it, and maybe even accommodating them being able to do it. That may be the difference. Thank
So that was President Biden. He says he's not going to sanction China for the recent hacking because China, guys, they're only protecting that. Wait, what? Yeah. That hack? What? The hackers?
They're not hacking themselves, apparently. They're only protecting the hackers.
I is so confused, though.
It's unreal.
How? What? Oh, good heavens. Welcome back to the show. So this, I got a million things here, and I'm also trying to pull up a couple of other notes that I had on all of this. Isn't that kind of the point? What else are they going to do? Aside from sanctions, I clearly think that there needs to at least be some. Something. But as Stephen Yates said yesterday, it's kind of gone on. You've had 3 years. Why are the United States, it seems, is being quite lackadaisical when it concerns dealing with China. Maybe that's because, I don't know, maybe the dependence as it relates to antibiotics and other things that we get from them. But at the same time, and I know that opinions differ on this in the foreign policy and NatSec communities, because, for instance, our friend Gordon Chang thinks, okay, let's stop all trade with China right now. And he's like really hardcore. However, Gordon Chang also has, you know, an experience and insight that other people do not have, whereas others maybe kind of want to tap the brakes a little bit and say, okay, well, let's start small incrementally. But has that time passed? You know, that's I think what the rest of us are asking. We have a lot to touch on. Okay, so the Jeff Bezos flight, I want to hit on this really quickly. I watched this a little bit, and I'm not going to joke about what his spacecraft looked like. I think everyone else did that, and they satisfied that, so we don't need to do that. But can I be real? And this is me just not knowing exactly what, I guess, this mission entailed. I didn't expect for him to go to the moon or go to Mars, and I really don't think I fully expected him to orbit the Earth either. So maybe perhaps it's just my own lack of familiarity with what he was doing, but I didn't realize he was just going to go up and right back down. Right?
It's my understanding that this is what they're offering to the public. Like, the public to go up in space for like a minute and then come back.
For like how much money?
I don't know.
Because I'll yeet you there myself and, you know, I'll get like a trebuchet and I'll just yeet you right the heck up into suborbit. I'm okay with that. I won't even charge you, I bet, as much as he's charging you. Do you get... That's it, though? Really?
I think that's literally it.
They said they experienced almost a minute of weightlessness. How much is that? Is he going to charge for that? That's a for real. I look, if you want to do that and you want to spend your money, more power to you. I honestly did think that he was at least going to be up there long enough to high five some aliens or something, or, you know, fist bump a Martian. I don't know. It just seemed my favorite thing about I have two favorite things about this story. Okay, really three, but really two that are not very deep. They're quite shallow. The first thing I really like about this story is one of the gentlemen's names who's involved with us. Not gentleman. One of the women's names who's involved with us. She's a Goodwill ambassador, and she was like a air safety investigator. Anyway, she's like got all this air, you know, stuff. Her name is Wally Funk. She's the oldest person out to travel into space at 82 years old. I can't think of a cooler name than Wally Funk. Her name is Wally Funk. Her real name is Mary Wallace Funk, but they call her Wally Funk. And she was the first female civilian flight instructor. That's pretty cool. And she's the oldest person to go into space. 82 years old. Like, I'm looking at this woman's fitness. Dude, I think that's some goals. To be 82 years old and be yeeted into suborbit. That's some goals, man. I don't know what I'm going to be doing at 82 years old. But that's pretty cool. Her name's Wally Funk, though. I saw that name and I'm like, that's the coolest name I've ever heard. What's your name, Wally Funk? Wow. So the second thing I really like is that I listened to about a half hour of commentary just on the seats this morning. I forget what I was streaming. I was streaming something off my, off my phone. He apparently, and this is actually quite a good point that I had never thought of before. So when you have astronauts that re-enter Earth's atmosphere and land, quite obviously it's a very jolting experience, right? And apparently the Russian crafts are horrible, and even the United States crafts, when they re-enter, it's not a very comfortable seat. And Jeff Bezos apparently spent a ton of money just on the seats. Shock absorbers in the seats and everything. They are apparently the cushiest, most luxurious seats you could purchase. And Jeff Bezos put them on that capsule or whatever that falls back down to Earth, which makes sense. Can you imagine not having that? What were they sitting in? Like plastic eggs chairs? Like egg chairs? What are they sitting in? That's, I can't even imagine. But I listened to that. I know way more. I know so much more about these seats than what any one person should. But long story short, he spent a good chunk of money on shock absorbing seats, and they're like all, you know, special, whatever design, you know, all this stuff. How much is he going to charge for this, though, to go up? Would you pay $10,000, Kane, to get kicked up into space like that?
No, I don't. I'd have better things to spend 10 grand on. I bet if I'm somebody who is maybe a lottery winner or something, I think that these seats are 6-7 figures, though, honestly.
What?
I'm not kidding.
I'm gonna hang on. We're going to look this up. Seats cost space. Would you, Steve, would you spend $10,000 to kick up there in Blue Origin? Like, what if you...
I would just look at the
video. We're promised a selfie with an alien.
Well, the kid that's up there is like the youngest ever to be in space. He paid. He's like the Dutch kid on the left. He like paid.
Yeah,
like,
the 18-year-old.
The Dutch kid on the left.
He is from
the Dutch
kid. Holland.
Okay, well, what is it? The I'm looking to see like what the price. Yeah, he paid. Yeah, the guy. His name is Oliver Damien. And he is, but he's the last minute fill in for the winner of a $28 million charity auction. That guy had a scheduling conflict. What?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the breaks. That's the, I need some break sounds. Cause that sounds horrible. Hold up. I'm sorry. Can we just stop everything right now? You win a $28 million charity auction to get, and I'm going to say this word because it's my favorite word. I don't care if it, nobody says it anymore. Shut up. To get yeeted into space. And you have a scheduling conflict.
Yeah.
What does your, what conflicts with your schedule? You're going to sit on a, in a shock absorbing, super expensive custom seat, and you're going to get kicked up into suborbit and be weightless for almost a minute. But you had a scheduling conflict. Yes, I had a scheduling conflict. So they had this guy, this last minute fill in. Which really technically isn't last minute because I'm sure he had to undergo like fitness and, you know, do all of this stuff. So they had 15 test flights before they did this. And so they auctioned off the seats at like $28 million. The fourth seat on the flight was auctioned off for that price. Whew. And this is all, they're competing with this because you had Blue Origin. They were competing against Richard Branson. And then, of course, they're all competing against SpaceX, and they're all trying to compete for these commercial contracts. And Blue Origin was challenging the because SpaceX ended up winning it, and they're challenging it. So, but that's crazy. So his trip cost $2.5 million per minute.
Yep,
dude, they were 11 minutes outside Earth. 11 minutes outside of Earth. Okay, so for 11 minutes, would you pay $10,000? You don't actually get to... See, I would be like, can we just do a pit stop somewhere so I can get a moon rock or something? You have to get a souvenir, even if it's like a crappy thimble.
That wouldn't be $10,000. That would be way more.
Well.
And I'm looking at now, according to this, it says Virgin Galactic suborbital trips where the passengers can actually experience weightlessness for several minutes before falling back to Earth. They cost $250,000 to get on that thing.
Okay, so that's like...
So 10,000 is not
an
accurate...
Can you recreate that here on Earth? They have like those weightless
they do.
Chambers,
I think part
right?
of it's the view too, though.
Yeah. Obviously. I mean, the whole thing is amazing to me. But so that's 2.5 some odd mil for the love. That's just crazy. But good for... Here's why I bring this up. The other thing that I said I thought that was really cool about this is the fact that I think I get it that on the right, everybody's supposed to hate Jeff Bezos. I'm actually having a huge problem with a lot of the slap fighting on the right now. A massive problem. And this is where I make a lot of people mad and I get very anti-authoritarian. And I'm not exactly entirely predictable because I hate being into boxes. I don't identify as a Republican. I vote as a Republican most of the time, but I don't identify that way. And I just can't stand, it's not what I was meant for. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not meant to be like this, I'm fresh pressed, stepped out of a bandbox, you know, immaculate little, country club Republican. No offense to people who like country clubs. That's just not, I can't do lockstep hive mind stuff. I've never been able to. And the moment that people expect me to, this is where my anti-authoritarianism comes in. I feel like I just have to rebel against it. And I saw this tweet from Tulsi Gabbard, and I'm actually concerned about this. Not about what Tulsi Gabbard said, but about the reactions, I think, overall. So Tulsi Gabbard had tweeted, Do Bezos please stay up there? Do the world a favor. So she tweeted that yesterday at 4:30. Or no, sorry. Yeah, it was yesterday at 4. No, it was today. Sorry, it was today, I guess. It has it at 5:30 on July 20th, 2021. And I'm like, that's today's July 20th. So how's that? But anyway. So I realize that people are mad at Jeff Bezos because they object to the working conditions of people in Amazon, and which I get. I completely get. I think that business owners should treat their employees properly. I don't think that the government should mandate it. I think that businesses should be punished as by way of consequence of their actions. If they don't treat people, their employees nicely, then people won't want to work for them. Right? It's kind of how, and it does end up getting to that point. But I also think no matter what his politics are, and no, I do feel like it's a success story in a way, right? I feel like this is a guy who created something out of his parents' garage.
Yeah, it's definitely a success story. Wherever he is right now, you cannot deny the fact that the Bezos story is a success story.
Yeah, this is where I get super, super Dagny Taggart about this stuff. I always liked Dagny Taggart from everybody. Atlas Shrugs is I know it's a really big long book, but it's a great story. But I loved her fist in the air, just don't care attitude, the character's attitude towards embracing success and being comfortable living how you want to live on the fruits of your own labor. I appreciate that. I like people who live unapologetically and do not apologize for their success. I like people who are, because right now we're in this societal, I just feel like we're in this new period where you're supposed to be ashamed of being successful and you're supposed to be ashamed if you get to a certain point. And I really feel a lot of animosity about that coming from the right. Not all the right. I know people love attributing everything I say to make it about themselves, but like last night, I called a group of people who were mad because I had interviewed Black Rifle Coffee. I called a group of them that would not leave me alone about it. Soy boys. And now everybody wants to make my comment all about them because they're all, I guess people are being drama queen about it and they want to make my comment about them. Jeebus. But I do feel like there's animosity with some people on the right towards that kind of success. And yeah, I think Jeff Bezos' politics are heinous? Pretty sure they are. But it's still a success story. Only in America can you start a business like this legit out of your parents' garage. And now he's flying a phallus up into space. It's amazing. All I said was one thing. I said, stop. Kane's dying. I said one thing. I know. You know what? That's payback for what you said something last week. You got one in last week, and so that's payback. Paisies backsies.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
Go ahead. Thank you, Jen. More than 10% of the traveling party with these Texas Democrats now claim to have a breakthrough case. Is there any concern that this trip that was intended to advocate for voting rights is now a super spreader event in Washington?
Well, I would say that's not a characterization we're making from here. We certainly understand there will be breakthrough cases. Even vaccines that are incredibly effective are not foolproof. They're not 100% effective. We've seen that. Here's the good news, though. We know that these vaccines, that these individuals, I think, if I'm correct, have been vaccinated. It means that it protects from death. It protects from serious illness. It protects, for the most part, from hospitalization. So that is a good sign.
Now that COVID-19, after contact with those Democrats, has reached the White House, what is your message to these Texas Democrats?
Our message continues to be thanks for standing up for voting rights and the rights of Americans to have their voices heard at the voting booth. And we appreciate their efforts in that. Hmm.
They appreciate their efforts. It's a super spreader event. Super spreader event. All right. This is what we got coming up here. We got a lot of things actually on the way. We have my friend Brad Thor, who's going to be joining us in our second hour of the program. And Disney fixed the Jungle Cruise ride, so no one's feelings will get hurt anymore. And I really don't care what Jeff Bezos does with his money. I mean, he didn't rob a bank. Stick with us.
Our experts believe, and the data shows, that most of the price increases we've seen were expected and expected to be temporary.
Reality is you can't flip the global economic light back on and not expect this to happen. As demand returns, there's going to be global supply chain challenges. We've seen that in semiconductors, which are used in automobiles.
The love. That's the president of the United States. This was actually yesterday when he was speaking.
Just admitted global.
Yeah, just a... Kane's still not... for the love. You know, this
American
is...
American first. It's not American first.
That's not American first at all. And no one believes that any of this... I mean, good heavens. Now, the inflation problem, it's gonna continue to be a problem so long as we're on this economic trajectory. Welcome back to the show, everyone. DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you. A lot of stuff to discuss today. And make sure that you go and sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, all good things. And you can stream the show additionally on the Odyssey app. I will be on Fox Primetime tonight. I was on Hannity last night. We were talking about and I'm going to get into that, the January 6th stuff too. The sentencing that's been coming down for, look, I know, quick thing. I know I make fun of the people who are busting up windows and calling them gravy seals and that, because I don't believe that violence and property destruction is a form of protected speech. But for the people who simply walked in, and I'll say this again, this, you really need to understand that this event was so big. It was organized as a peaceful protest. And there, I know people who were there. And none of the people I were there were actually went into the Capitol, because apparently there were food trucks nearby. And that tells you everything you need to know about my friends. They were like, whoa, food truck. And then another friend of mine was getting actual video footage for one of the wire services. And his wife was blowing up his phone, and that's when he realized, oh my gosh, there's people are going in the Capitol, and he had to rush over there and take footage, because it was pretty spread out. If you've never been to the Capitol grounds, I've been to, I don't know how many rallies, how many protests, I've been to tons of different events at the Capitol grounds, and it's a huge, I mean, it's kind of all condensed right there in DC, but the layout of the complex itself, it's very easy to have even like, you know, two different events at the same time. So people need to kind of, I think there are a lot of people who don't realize that, but there was a group, and it was a large group, sure, but it was a group that broke away. And from that group, there were people who engaged in assault and who busted up windows and were engaging in property destruction, which that's not protected speech. I mean, what else do you need to be said about that? This is where the right differs from the left, in that everybody that I know has been incredibly consistent about condemning anything that is not protected speech. Period. The end. There's no discussion on this. Here's what I don't get. The guy who got, and I have him up here. I have this on my, I just closed it. The guy who ended up getting charged with a felony, he wasn't actually engaged in any of the property destruction, and he wasn't engaged in any assault, and it wasn't, he didn't take anything. He took, I think, what, a selfie. He gets 8 months in prison, and it's the first felony sentencing. And I guess that's kind of the legal benchmark they want to set. The prosecution wanted 18 months behind bars. Now, the maximum sentence is 20 years. Now, the way that they were handling it is he got a single count. Paul Allard Hodgkins of Florida, he pled guilty to a single count of obstructing an official proceeding in June. And that is, I guess, disrupting what was happening at the Capitol, whatever. And I'm curious as to what the other sentences are going to be like for people. If he got, I mean, he essentially got, they were asking for 18 months behind bars. His attorney wanted probation without jail time. And it looks, you know, I'm just still 8 months. He's going to be eight months in jail. This is the thing that sticks out, is that there was not any really serious involvement from Hodgkin's in what happened on January 6th. Now, you can talk, again, about January 6th and how much you dislike it, et cetera, but he wasn't even one of the first people in there. From everything that I've read about this guy, he wasn't even one of the first people in there. He wasn't engaged in any kind of property destruction. He wasn't taking anything, climbing on anything. He has a completely clean record. He has nothing on his record. He has zero prior offenses. He is not even accused of assaulting anyone. He's not even accused of damaging anything. The charge rests on the premise that he stepped foot onto the Senate chamber floor and he took a selfie with the guy, the media calls him the QAnon shaman, the guy with the buffalo head. He apparently took a selfie and that was it. And he walked in, he was like one of the last people that walked in, according to some of the stuff that I've read with this case. Now, my thought is that if they're giving this guy 8 months for that, what about some of the other, I mean, that means there's going to be some pretty serious sentences for some of these other people. The people who engaged in the assault and the property destruction, there's going to be some serious sentences. But I really feel that they're really overplaying their hand with this case. You've got to be kidding me. 8 months because he walked in to the... Are you... Seriously? 8 months?
They're justifying it as a deterrent for future, quote-unquote, insurrections.
I understand that people are... Or like prosecutors or whatever, what have you, they want to have a deterrence for any kind of shenanigans that would take place when the Senate is in session. I get it. But I feel at the very least, I think that everyone can agree that this guy being the test case for this is a little much, right? I think it's a little much. I mean, he pled guilty. I mean, at the very least, I just think it would be like the same kind of sentence for trespass, wouldn't it? I mean, it's just my thought. But good heavens. So this guy is, and he's going to always have this. You know how, Google never forgets. You guys know how all of this works. He's never, ever, ever going to be able to live this down. And the defense was already saying, look, that's kind of, it's by itself is kind of a punishment. And they were saying that, he had a lapse in judgment and he realized way too late that he shouldn't be on the floor, et cetera, et cetera. But the idea that they have been trying to say that this guy is one of the insurrectionists, and by they, I mean Democrats, media, and even the prosecution, is ridiculous. An unarmed insurrectionist. Seriously, stop. You can condemn the violence and property damage without going and throwing yourself at the altar of hyperbole and saying that this was insurrection and that this guy's an insurrectionist. Come on. 8 months. Now, I don't know, like you were saying, Kay, maybe that's because they want to have a deterrence for shenanigans on the floor of the Senate, but you also know it's a great deterrence for shenanigans on the floor of the Senate. You want to know?
I do.
Respecting the will of the voter. You want to know what's a great deterrence? I'm just saying, for shenanigans, is not impugning the character of half the country simply because they didn't vote for the elderly white woman who fell down and lost a shoe in a street. Or impugning the character of half the country because they liked lower taxes and no more nation building. Just saying. That's a great way to prevent shenanigans.
Right.
Because I think it's excessive. I do. I totally think it's excessive.
I said this off the air, and I know it's probably not the direction you want to go, but also a good deterrent would have been when Muriel Bowser she actually asked for the National Guard on the 30th of
December. Ooh, that's a good point.
And then on the 5th, even after Trump, you know, he just green-lighted it on the 3rd of January. And then on the 5th of January, Muriel decided to yank that request. Mm-hmm. And it would have been a great show of force, would have been a peaceful show of force to prevent whatever happened on January 6th. But I believe there was a setup here. I believe that she yanked that National Guard request at the last minute because they wanted optics like this. And I think this is all part of this overall desire for the optics.
Yes, there definitely. I think definitely that plays into this. We'll continue. We got this on the burner. There's a couple of other things that I wanted to discuss. So Twitter suspended Marjorie Taylor Greene because they accused her of posting coronavirus misinformation. To me, this doesn't have anything to do with Marjorie Taylor Greene so much as it has to do with the topic that of what she actually posted. So the way that the story, well, she was suspended for 12 hours. So it's like it's a temporary suspension. So she was suspended for 12 hours and she was tweeting apparently statistics from another account that had to do with the Delta variant. And it wasn't like it, I mean, from what I understand and what I've read from screen caps and that, it didn't really have anything to do with, it wasn't as though it was a conspiracy theory or fear mongering or anything else of that nature. But again, this goes back to the question that I asked yesterday. You have one group of doctors and scientists and another group of doctors and scientists. Who gets to determine whose science is the science that we go with? That's a million-dollar question. So coming up, AOC does not understand how capitalism works. We've got that story for you. We're going to talk to my friend Brad Thor. He's got a new book out. And masks for kids, the latest debate. Because now, after LA County has decided to mandate masking again, now everyone's talking about we're weeks away from school starting. In some cases, 2 to 3 weeks. Masks for kids. That's another big debate. I think it's insane. So we've got that. Senate Democrats are proposing requiring women to register for the draft. And instead of saying that's stupid, we shouldn't have women register for the draft, how about we don't have a draft? There's a thought. Let's talk about trust. Something that's important to do with so much defunding and canceling going on. Do you know that many wireless companies support left-wing causes that take away our freedoms and pare down our traditional beliefs? Patriot Mobile is different. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and plans to fit any budget. They donate hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to causes you and I care about, like First and Second Amendment rights, sanctity of life, supporting first responders and veterans. There's no better time than now when we celebrate our freedom and Independence Day to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and get even more value. $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment or 50% off your first 2 months plus free premier activation. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Switch to Patriot Mobile, a company you can trust to support your values. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So about 200 Americans, or as many as, so I mean there could be a lot more, have all reported symptoms, or possible symptoms, of what they call Havana Syndrome. Almost half of those reporting symptoms are linked to the CIA. Wait, how many? With possible cases in Berlin, Vienna, and on every continent but Antarctica. So have you guys heard about this stuff? They're otherwise called directed energy attacks. There's apparently a fresh wave of reports, says NBC, of newly identified incidents around the world. They say that the Havana Syndrome, all these new cases, it's been coming in from overseas posts as well, sometimes multiple times a week. Dude, you know this is the Russians, right? Are we pretending that it's not? Right? Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Just saying. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is going to have to quarantine because he was exposed to the Rona, but he already had the Rona, so doesn't he have immunity? Right. Like, he legit has antibodies that he got naturally because he had it already. So again, what? How does this work? So wait, can someone clarify that? Do you have immunity or not? That doesn't make any sense.
You do.
Joe Manchin is going to vote for a Biden's BLM nominee, the one who lied under oath, says Daily Mail. Democratic West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is going to vote to confirm Tracy Stone Manning as the next director. Yeah, I know you thought BLM. No, the original BLM, Bureau of Land Management. You remember those folks, the people who keep trying to take North Texans' property because Red River, and they don't understand how rivers can kind of change seasonally. The Senate Energy and Resources Committee will vote on Stone Manning's nomination Thursday. And yeah, she did lie under oath. I'm not a fan of BLM. I'm really not. Those are the people who try to screw people over on grazing rights. And they're the people who basically shrugged when the left dumped a bunch of chemicals in the Animas River and, you know, it basically poisoned the water that a lot of lives for a lot of farmers, a lot of ranchers out in that area. I know. Never really any accountability that I remember from that. Four injured. Well, wait a second. That was a leftover from yesterday. Look how excited I went into that. I was like, boom. So Victoria's Secret has closed hundreds of stores, and so far this last quarter, they've lost $275 million. And that's because they stopped, like, actually focusing on bras and panties, I guess. Stay with us. Brett Thor is coming up next.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
Question was?
It was on inflation. You mentioned uninsured inflation.
There's nobody suggesting.
I think, you know, it's important the CDC recommendations may be at variance with that, but in every respect, the CDC always leaves open the flexibility at the part of local agencies, local enterprises, local cities and states to make a judgment call based on the situation on the ground. So I think that the American Academy of Pediatrics, you know, they're a thoughtful group. They analyze the situation, and if they feel that that's the way to go, I think that's a reasonable thing to do.
That is Dr. Anthony Fauci, who says that this whole masking of kids, yeah, it's completely, everyone older than two, totally reasonable, except it's not. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. DanaLash.com, good to be with you guys. So it's not reasonable. It's ridiculous. And it also goes against CDC guidelines, too. I know they like to cite the CDC for all this stuff. So I know we mentioned Brad Thor. We can't get a hold of Brad, so we got to move on. We got to do other stuff. But I think this is a huge issue, the whole masking thing. I noticed that it was really being pushed by Randy Weingarten, who is the head of the American Federation of Teachers. And it's pretty unfortunate. The idea that, and this is one of the things where the goalposts have changed yet again. Because at first it was, no, they don't have to be, then they're going to have to be, and kids don't need. I just remember all of the discussion, all of the studies, etc., that really did a deep dive into how children, they're juveniles, they haven't fully matured, are not physically able to actually be carriers because the receptors and the respiratory system, et cetera, et cetera. It's a long scientific explanation. We've talked about this so many times. Which is kind of my point. We've all known that since the beginning. That's what they've discussed. So now they're moving the goalposts. And the thing is that no one has actually come out and said, yes, kids can be super spreaders. They just want to do the masks. Why? I don't get this. Honestly, I think it's a reason, especially when I see Weingarten get out there on this, I think it's a reason, another excuse for this the teachers union to either not go in or to try to, you know, milk this situation even more. I feel bad for the really good teachers who do not march lockstep with us. And they're so infuriated. Oh, believe me, I hear from so many of them. So many of them. And they are infuriated with the way that they feel that they don't feel represented by AFT and these other teachers unions. They really don't. And they're infuriated by this. So this is not based on science. It's really not. It really isn't. There's going to be a lot of kids that are, you're going to see that are, their parents are not going to go with this again. In Indiana University, this was last night, can require, according to a judge, they ruled this yesterday, they can require its 90,000 students and 40,000 employees to get vaccinated. I think 40,000 employees is 40,000 employees too many, right? What's their transfer rate going to look like after this? I'm curious. So we have now judges who can be the ultimate, they have the last word in what an institution can force you to inject into your body in the name of medicine. There's nothing at all in any of this for any kind of acquired immunity. There is nothing at all in any of this for, you know, what happens if people have serious, legitimate health concerns that actually would exclude them from doing all of this. There's no data or transparency here. I was reading this Wall Street Journal piece. It was pretty stunning. It was discussing, you know, how these policies are affecting kids, and the CDC, this is actually really stunning. This is Wall Street Journal. I'll put this in my prep email that I send out to subscribers tonight. It says the flimsy evidence behind the CDC's push to vaccinate kids. The agency overcounts COVID hospitalizations and deaths and won't consider if one shot is sufficient. And so this is what it says. A tremendous number of government and private policies affecting kids are based on one number, 335. That is how many children under 18 have died. They've died with a COVID diagnosis code in their record, according to the CDC. Yet the CDC, which has 21,000 employees, hasn't researched each death to find out whether COVID caused it or if it involved a pre-existing medical condition. This is from the Wall Street Journal. And the medical professional behind it works at Johns Hopkins. They are involved in a study, their research team, and the nonprofit Fair Health to analyze 48,000 kids under 18 who may have been diagnosed with COVID in health insurance data from April to August 2020. They found a zero mortality rate among children without a pre-existing medical condition like leukemia. They said if that trend holds, it has significant implications for healthy kids and whether or not they need two vaccine doses. They said the NEA was debating whether to urge schools to require this. They said, and Wall Street Journal asks, how can they or anyone debate the issue without the right data? Yes. How are they doing that? $1 million question. How is anyone doing this? This is, I feel like this too, where it concerns this soundbite. I wanted to pull, this is audio soundbite 15. This is CDC Director Walensky. And the phrase pandemic of the unvaccinated. Listen to this.
There is a clear message that is coming through. This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We are seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination coverage because unvaccinated people are at risk, and communities that are fully vaccinated are generally faring well.
My problem with the phrasing the pandemic of the unvaccinated, so who exactly, what do we know about the fatalities? Like, who actually is, who's dying? Who's dying from this? Who's being hospitalized? I mean, are they people who are older? Is it like 60 plus? Is it 50 plus? What is it? Do they have high risk health conditions? What is it? Are these people millennials? Are they Gen X? Are they millennials? Are they Gen Z? Are they healthy and active and they've had no other? I mean, what is this? We don't even have this data. How are you saying that there's a pandemic of the unvaccinated when you know absolutely nothing about any of the health conditions of any of these people? How in the world are you saying this? I mean, by all means, if you have the data and it's been out there and we're just stupid old rat whingers, you know, feel free to share it. I get it that there is, and I understand that there are certain people who want to get vaccinated. I'm not going to sit here and judge you. My gosh, life is too short to judge everybody for everything all the time. Although I know people have a fetish for it, especially on Twitter. But I think that at some point, you know, if you're risking or if you're weighing the risks of either vaccine effects or, you know, the effects of the coronavirus, how are we making any determination without the actual, like, the data? So did you know that Moderna, and this is Fox Business, they only just now, this article is from July 12th, only just now started to do a clinical trial for pregnant women and vaccinations. Is there something I'm missing? This is, if you want to convince people who are hesitant about the vaccine, you have to have data. You gotta have data. The end. You have to have data, data, and more data. And that's not being provided. That is not everybody else's fault. I mean, considering everything that taxpayers have gone through this past year, how much money taxpayers have paid to fast track the vaccine development, the distribution, the administration, there is zero excuse whatsoever to not have more data on this. None. Absolutely none. When you are in this 1984-like period where it seems deceit is universal, that one thing that you need, two things that you need absolute, you can't get enough of are transparency and data. And yet, why are those two things in short supply? And so when people speculate in their absence, they're reprimanded publicly. They're smeared. They're called anti-vaxxers. I mean, good for you if you feel comfortable making a decision based on just on the information that's available. Good for you. But that does not give you a right to cast aspersions on the character of someone else because they don't. It is amazing to me. And I think that parents still also need to be in charge of all the risk assessments and make those determinations about their kids. Because it is, I mean, what, the longer, I understand that viruses mutate, et cetera, and that right now, I have a friend of mine who was talking about her name is Margo Cleveland. She writes over at Federalist. She had a very interesting Twitter thread at the beginning of this month, and she was talking about how she and her family, she had her son go to the doctor and get a checkup, and her child is dealing with cystic fibrosis, and they were talking about all of this stuff, and that's the backdrop for how they were dealing with whether or not they wanted to do or get him vaccinated or if that was something that they should do. And she's one of those people who are hesitant and because of all of the medical issues that her child's dealing with. And she said that the longer the coronavirus circulates, the more time it has to mutate, which is true. And she said the vaccines work right now on what we're dealing with. But if it continues to circulate, it might not be the case, which means more time to maybe it mutates and then starts maybe perhaps affecting kids, young people, et cetera, people who don't have any comorbidities. You know, we should be able to discuss these things without it being flagged or removed from social media. But this is the thing. The back and forth between Anthony Fauci and Rand Paul, we played that audio at the start of the show. The idea that Anthony Fauci is going to raise his voice at an actual, I mean, Dr. Rand Paul, he is a doctor. He is a specially trained and highly regarded eye surgeon. He's not a moron. He understands what gain of function research is. This is what I'm talking about with a complete and total absence of any kind of transparency. Now, this is why, guys, this is why people are so hesitant. And how dare anybody judge those people for being hesitant on that? That enrages me. How dare anyone, just because you're comfortable making a decision and someone else doesn't share your level of comfort because the government that you feel comfortable with has not, and this is not up for debate, they have not provided the data on this stuff, everything I just went over in this segment. It is not those people's fault. And quite frankly, we're all getting ripped off with all of the tax money that we've poured into this, and we still are asking the same questions now that we've been asking for 6 months, is inexcusable. And then you have the social media aspect. Everybody's weighing in on it. Good grief. And they can't even tell you what negative information. They just suspend people.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, all right, all right. So, good heavens. A Florida man was arrested after he passed out in a hot attic after a home invasion. I would say that was a very unsuccessful home invasion. Don't you think so? So this is Tampa Free Press. A Florida man and woman are behind bars. It was a violent home invasion that went awry. This was on Friday. The Hernando County Sheriff's deputies responded to a subdivision in reference to a possible physical altercation. A witness who called 911 advised that she observed a man covered in blood exiting the home, getting into a vehicle and leaving the scene. And they conducted a traffic stop, noticed the guy, and that required immediate attention. So long story short, it's awful. They found somebody who was tied up in their home, but they also found the suspect in the, it just is insane. They found the suspect who was passed out in the attic, because when police arrived, he was trying to flee and tried to flee into the attic, and it didn't actually work out well for him, which I'm okay with. And but death penalty, by the way, yeah. Go ahead. I mean, and live stream it, and you could raise money off of it as well. I'm totally okay with that. How would you call Carl? Why do you think you're going to get away in an attic? This is not the. And thankfully, that woman, by the way, was rescued. A Florida man was banned from playing a tuba on a beach. Here we go. Derek Nangle is mad. He says the beach patrol stopped him. He was playing tunes on a Fort Myers beach on Friday, according to WBBH. He's a music therapy major at Florida Gulf Coast University. He says he loves to play, calls the music the absence of stress, but apparently his tuba violated the entertainment ordinance. What? Ordinances were made to be broken. Just saying. Really? You can't... They said that they can fine him for disobeying the ordinance. What, does he have to actually get like a permit in order to play his tuba? Oh, boy. That's so lame. Like I said, I can't even share this story with you. It has to do with a woman. Oh, my gosh.
Be careful.
I know. It's a woman who was arrested in Newport Richey because she was having self-romantical times outside of a 7-Eleven in front of a chicken shop twice in 1 month. I'm not even making this up. This is a true story. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying...
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Senator Paul...
I'm going to take a big breath here. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And, oh boy, that was, you can stream the show on the Odyssey app, although you're listening to me now, so but you can, they have the stream as well. danalash.com, go and subscribe to the newsletter. I'll be on Fox Primetime tonight. The audacity of someone like Fauci telling a trained eye surgeon that, oh, you're the one who's lying here, Senator, is you. No, he's not. When you're, he's literally describing how this virus gained a new action. What's another phrase for that, Kane?
I would say gain of function.
Gain of function. That is correct. That is correct. I agree. Gain of function. So, I like that he was grilling him. Fauci was very upset there, and I don't care. I'm done. I'm just done with it. We had a big old conversation about this in the absence of data. The Wall Street Journal, this is a must-read piece. I'm going to link this to you, and I have a couple of highlighted portions that I at least stuck out to me. But, you know, the fact that, you know, the CDC has not researched the fatalities of, for instance, kids under 18, children under 18, to find out whether or not coronavirus was involved at all or if it was a pre-existing medical condition. But yet that's all the stuff that they're citing in terms of masks and vaccinations. What? How are... Do we operate in life like that in any other reality? Do you just, you know, buy a house without just not knowing anything? You just not even look at your budget, not look at any, just make an offer on whatever house you want to. Do we operate any other thing in the world like apparently they're operating this here? No, we wait for data, right? Even insurance companies, when they are assessing how much people are going to pay in insurance, what do they rely on? Data. That's right. And we're not doing that here. Okay, there's a few things that I kind of went by. AOC is selling merchandise, but don't you dare call it capitalism. Wait, what? Yes. And I love how the Associated Press photo, she's making the white power symbol. Isn't that where the thing where you do the okay?
Yeah.
Or, by the way, do you know how some people count three like that? Mm-hmm. They will count like that. I always start with my thumb, but some people will say that's three. I don't understand people who count three like this. It just is so awkward to me.
When I played baseball, that's how we did it.
They're all you racist baseball players, whatever. But thank you, Kane. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she has a new merchandising operation. Ooh, merch? Yes. Reuters says that AOC is making a push into political merchandise. You know, this has been done before. Just a little FYI. And it's it's her branding. Go ahead and do that. I do think it's a little ironic, but okay. Her campaign paid political merchandising firm Financial Innovations more than $1.4 million. It's operating her online store, supplying merchandise, things like that. And where's it made? That's one thing I actually haven't seen. Is where is it made? So the merchandise, there's apparently, I'm looking at some things here. She spent more on merchandise than most House members spent on their own campaigns. This is according to Reuters and John Sexton. Whoa. Her campaign paid political merchandise firm, like I said, $1.4 million. That's more than any lawmaker spent on their entire reelection efforts during that same period. Oh, so that it counts as political fundraising. What is the goal though? Because it still does. I don't know. I think she wants to go for higher office, but she comes from a little tiny. Her district is a little bitty tiny. She has a little tiny district. I don't know if she's thinking about going after Schumer or what, but her merchandise. So for instance, they have a sweatshirt that says "Tax the Rich." It's a sweatshirt that says "Tax the Rich" that she's selling. She's rich. You know that, right? Oh my gosh. Oh wait, there's more. That's the funniest thing to me. She has a t-shirt that has student debt crossed out. Maybe she should have donated her merchandise money to student debt. She has a picture of her as Che Guevara. Oh, God. No joke, for real. And then they try to make her look like a Duran Duran cover girl, and then she's riding a unicorn on one, and then they try to make her look like Ruth Bader Ginsburg is another. Reuters is apparent. I guess they're advertising for her because Reagan Battalion noted that they've tweeted about her merchandise just in one day, nine times in one day on July 9th and yesterday. But it's capitalism. She's actually using capitalism to push socialism. Now, Sean Spicer noted this. And AOC had a conniption. This is what she says. She goes, quote, "Not sure if you know this, Sean, but transactions aren't capitalism." What?
What are they then?
Yeah. She says, I was not at all going to get into that past this first sentence. Let's try this again. This is her tweet. Okay, here we go. "Not sure if you know this, Sean, but transactions aren't capitalism. Capitalism is a system that prioritizes profit at any and all human and viral cost." Wait, so you mean also like electric cars? Because it China has the monopoly on that, right? And guess what? China doesn't give a rat's backside about the environment or anything else like that. Okay. She says, "But for what it's worth, our shop is unionized, doesn't operate for profit." Wait, what? "And funds projects like free tutoring, food programs, and local organizing." So she actually,
they're trying to change the definition of capitalism?
Yeah, because she used capital to get her venture started, Ed Morrissey noted. And then you have to use your money or your capital, so to speak. You risk that to start a business. You're producing something that people want to buy, and then you hope that they'll buy it for the price that you set. And capital. Then you hope that, you know, all of the that financial transaction will also cover the manufacturing and being able to get the goods to manufacture, etc., and to also kick over to her political campaign. So literally that it's profitable in that sense. It is profitable. And Ed notes that the entire purpose of merchandising is to capitalize on a popular concept or to draw out its value in cash. Yes, of course it is. She is a capitalist. She's engaging in capitalism. It doesn't stop being capitalism just because you say it's not. Right? Words still have meanings regardless whether or not you want to acknowledge those meanings. Just saying. Good heavens. All right. So a couple of other things here. It was yesterday. So yesterday I had on the guys from Black Rifle Coffee, Evan Hafer and Matt Best, because they spoke with the New York Times. And I know the guys, I am friends with them. They do not advertise on this radio program. And as I said earlier, they advertise on the first, but they're not even locked in for a year contract and I don't really care. But they talked to the New York Times, and I wanted to, you can find that on YouTube, and I had tweeted it out as well, and it's up on Facebook. And I don't know, I guess people thought that I was that I was expected to just like be an ass. I'm always a nice hostess on the show. Okay. This is not, this is not some, lowbrow kind of MSNBC operation here. Okay. We take our Wayne's World setup seriously. So stop. But I'm not a jerk to people unless they deserve it, right? That's just kind of how, that's always been my mantra. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. You're cool with me, I'm cool with you. That's just how it always has been. And I wanted to ask them some questions about this. Also, I'm one of those people that I don't run and take something that the New York Times writes about someone at face value. And so I just asked them. I wanted to get some answers from them on some stuff. Just like I asked Evan when all that, the donation that he donated to Tulsi Gabbard after Tulsi Gabbard went after Hillary Clinton, and Evan holds a lot of, obviously, considering his service to the country, holds a lot of animosity towards Hillary Clinton, particularly after Benghazi, and that's what Tulsi Gabbard went at her over, and because Tulsi Gabbard went at her over Benghazi, Evan donated money to her. Woman never had a chance in Hades of ever being in any kind of office, but he wanted to support that, and or support, you know, because she's a vet too. And then he, I had asked him previously about his donation to Barack Obama. It was like, what, $500? And that was, he had lost a bet with some of those with whom he served, and that was his punishment. So let me just put this out here, because people are like, I can't believe you had them on. You allowed them to come on. Yeah, you know what? I run a radio show, and I will do what I want, when I want, how I want, for whatever reason I want. I am a straight up no chaser, two steps above anarchy, capitalist free market person. And I've been pummeled by so many, whether it's the CNN town hall or wherever. So there's not much that people can do to insult me or that's, you know, gonna, for real. And they're like, I can't believe you have. Yeah, well, I invite people on and I ask them questions. And people were livid. There was a small group of people, and I think they run a bunch of different anonymous accounts, and I called that group of people soy boys. And now other people are trying to insist that I was talking about them, which I can't even pretend to be that stupid to play that game. But case in point here, I had them on, I asked questions, and I'm going to always do that. I'm going to always invite people on, and I'm going to ask them questions about any kind of controversial issue. And I'll say this. The folks over at Black Rifle, I'm going to believe and I'm going to listen to veterans before I'm going to believe the New York Times. If you disagree with that, you feel free to, but that's not how I roll. I also appreciate all of the advocacy that they do for veterans. They sponsor a lot of stuff. That you realize that whether it is a suicide prevention, whether it's vet advocacy, whether it's for rehabilitation, they have given millions of dollars for veterans causes. They're unashamed supporters. They're proud supporters. I mean, they got the U.S. flag on everything that they do. They believe in the right of self-defense and all the stuff that's being said about how, oh, well, they didn't support Rittenhouse's right of self-defense. That's not at all what they have ever said to me. And that includes yesterday and then 7 months before them. And they are dedicated to rights. They're dedicated to small businesses. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to help small businesses get over the imminent domain, rather, of people's commercial activity. They work with NASCAR, and progressives hate NASCAR. And the left the left hates them. The left hates them because they're very pro-America. They support vets. And also, I guess they're toxic in terms of their masculinity. I don't know. But I am going to believe people like that. And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt before I sit here and give the New York Times benefit of the doubt. Or, you know, some of these bot accounts that I think are run by Starbucks benefit of the doubt. And that's just how it is, right? You're free to disagree all you want to. I'm going to have people on. We're not always going to agree. But if I'm expected to agree with people 100% of the time, I promise you, you're going to be disappointed. I can't roll with people like that, just like I can't deal with people who think that disagreement is an attack. No, it's an attack when you sit here and when you actually say nasty stuff and you go and you try to make false accusations about people. So literally, like, a group of people in the past 24 hours have called me a whore, have called me all kinds of stuff because I actually question people on the radio. For some of these people, it's not about coffee and it's not about anything else. I really do think sometimes I'm like, are you literally a walking psyop? I have to ask sometimes. So I have always operated how I have operated, and nothing influences that. And I have been insulted by better. And I mean, if don't start nothing, won't be nothing. Plain and simple. And that's all I got to say about it. The end.
The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So the coronavirus recession was the shortest in history, but we spent more on it than any prior recession. It is the National Bureau of Economic Research and their Business Cycle Dating Committee. They maintain a chronology of the peaks and troughs of U.S. business cycles. They defined the recession. They said that the committee determined that it was worse. I mean, we spent more on this than in any other prior recession, but it was the shortest. Tells you how severe it was. Oof. I mean, I have a Norwegian beach volleyball headline that's actually pretty amazing. A team was fined for wearing uniforms that didn't show enough cheek. I'm not kidding. Stay with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
You can't drive drunk because you can injure other people. You can't smoke inside of a public place where you can give cancer to someone else in spite of their never having been a smoker. So I think we're reaching that point in the United States where those of us who are vaccinated, I want to take off my mask. I want to be able to live my life with vaccination. And right now I'm being impinged on by people who say, I don't want to get vaccinated. It's fine, but I want them to maybe have a limitation on where they can go impinged. And who they can possibly infect.
Oh, I get it. Kathleen Sebelius, whose first action as Health and Human Services Secretary under Barack Obama was to do a photo shoot for Vogue. No joke. She does not want to be affected, but she doesn't care if you are. I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to be impinged, but I don't care if you are. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you today. The unvaxxed shouldn't be able to just work or roam freely. Good people. Good heavens. These people are tyrants. That's just all there is to it. Good grief. And then she tried to compare it to drunk driving. As though, I mean, drinking too much and then getting into a vehicle and then driving drunk. First off, that's illegal. If she's so worried about it, again, stay home. You don't have a right to tell someone that they got to inject something in themselves because you can't be prevailed upon to keep your skinny butt home, girl. No, I just am done with this. It is interesting how it's set up now is like this, a push between those who are vaccinated and unvaccinated. And then there's a whole group of us, if we were all a meme, that are just sitting over there like Karen from Will and Grace, just drinking wine and watching everybody do it, right? Good heavens. I'm glad she's not in office anymore, but unfortunately there are a lot of people like her who are in office and who are, or at least are have been put into they've been put into these positions where they get to set this sort of policy. But to compare it like that and to say that, to question these people's character and have it seem as though that they're reckless or irresponsible is a reckless and irresponsible comparison. So the looking at some wokery, Disney fixed Jungle Cruise. Remember, they were getting attacked because they were not culturally sensitive. And now they do have they unveiled their new culturally sensitive environmental Jungle Cruise ride. The LA Times, they're very excited about this. The Disney folks, very excited about their new, good grief, their new culturally sensitive ride. Really, were that sensitive as people? But they said that ahead of the July 30 release of Jungle Cruise movie starring Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt, they reopened this attraction Friday. And they have removed what Disney says are, quote, negative depictions of Native people. They have slapsticks inspired scenes, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't care if they update it. I just, are we pretending that anything like this in history never existed? I don't know. Everything is so ridiculous. It's a ride. It's an amusement park ride that has, what has it been? I think it's been there since what? This is 66 years. So the depictions in the attraction have, I guess they've been there for 66 years. You know what? Things do change in 66 years. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, no, 66 years. They do change. So they wanted, they took out, I guess, all people. I don't know. They took out all the people. They said that they wanted to change it to where it's inclusive. And oh my gosh, I don't know. So I guess they don't, they got rid of some of the elements that were actually based on historical fact. Like, because there was in the Amazon basin, there was cannibalism, and there were certain people that did deal with shrunken heads. I mean, that's one of the reasons why people, it was so unlike anything that they ever knew. That's one of the reasons why people wanted to learn about it. Not every day you see a shrunken head, right? I almost had a joke there. I refrained. So they've changed the ride. So guess what? The world now is now spinning correctly. The moon wobble has stopped. That's what was causing the moon wobble. Did you know that? Was the Disney ride. I know. It made the moon wobble. The moon was so offended.
That was decent of them to do that.
I know. So they're going to have they're going to have monkeys and animals tormenting tourists. That's apparently that's what they're going to have in this ride. I mean, heaven forbid they show something that might seem out of place in 2021 that was apparently, you know, in 1955 when all this kicked off, that was that was kind of, I guess, I don't know. Maybe it was a little bit more customary for certain parts. I don't know. But the idea that you couldn't even have an educational conversation about it is, I guess parents can't bring themselves to do that. They can't have educational conversations with their kids about things. Good grief. So that's some of the wokery. And then the couple of other things here. In looking at, we were talking about some text, some of the big tech stuff. And I wanted to, speaking of coronavirus, this was a very interesting piece that I read at MSN. And it said, it was titled "Boredom's Link to Mental Illnesses, Brain Injuries, and Dysfunctional Behaviors." And the whole point of the piece was that basically lockdown was worse than coronavirus in terms of mental health and other fatalities of other illnesses, etc., which that's not a surprise to anybody. Oh, man. You know, I kind of think that I do kind of think that we're going to get to a point where they're either going to bring masks back, or they're going to demand that we all have a vax pass at some point. I just feel like that's where we're going. I mean, I do. The other thing that I wanted to hit, because I don't want to run out of time and I wanted to come back to it, we talked about this in the first hour, was the Jeff Bezos flight. I'm not going to say. It was a giant space phallus. Blue Origin, New Shepard, right? And so he blasted off into space. He was, I think, 11 minutes in weightlessness, 11 minutes like suborbital flight, and then came back down. And then all of a sudden the press went into billionaires have to pay their fair share. That's, you had CNN. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know it's time for billionaires to pay their fair share. These are actual tweets from people at CNN. It doesn't always have to be. And then CNN, Jeff Bezos, the world's richest man. This comes after billionaire Richard Branson's spaceflight. Do they not see, no matter what you think of their politics or their wealth, do people not understand the sum total benefit that everyone else can glean from something like this, an exercise like this? I mean, he's quite literally undertaking a scientific achievement that actually can benefit other people. Who do you think spends money on innovation for tech and science and advances discoveries in tech and science? I mean, there's maybe it was only an 11-minute flight, but I tell you, in that 11 minutes, he's accomplished more than a lot of people at CNN and MSNBC. And I think his politics are garbage. Garbage, garbage, garbage. I would tell him that to his face. But hey, he's used his money for something that's, you know, actually kind of cool. It's a great American success story. Starts from his parents' garage, builds his business into what it is. I'm just mad that I didn't think of it first. And then I was as, you know, if I was as old as he was and actually able to start something in my parents' garage, you know, when he did, then yeah. But I mean, it's pretty awesome. And then to undertake something like this, I think is cool. But I just want to be careful, too, that the right doesn't get into this kind of, and I've only seen it from a few people, but the people that I've seen it from, they were people who were giving Tulsi Gabbard some back pats because she had said, oh, why don't you just stay up there, Jeff Bezos? We're not shaming people for wealth. Richard Branson, he made his wealth. I read a story about how he actually started Virgin Airlines. He was on his way somewhere to a vacation destination and the flight got canceled. And there was no hope of apparently getting there. And he chartered a flight and then sold the seats on that flight. And that's kind of how it all started. That's brilliant, actually. Yeah, that's why those people get rich, because they are very innovative and entrepreneurial. And that should be celebrated instead of people getting all butthurt about it because they don't have their money. Yep. Good grief.
And also, that was a pretty big risk to take.
It was a very big risk. A super big risk. But yeah, it was pretty amazing. So, you know, and you see it with even entities like Facebook. And I think Facebook treats conservatives like garbage. Speaking of which, now you're having really this administration. When I mentioned earlier that Marjorie Taylor Greene had been suspended because she was sharing something about coronavirus. The administration trying to blame social media and use them as a scapegoat for their inability to convince people hesitant about vaccines. It's two birds in one stone right there, because they're mad that conservative websites, even against Facebook's algorithms, are doing quite well on Facebook. And they can't control it, and they're not able to influence it apparently as easy as they are Twitter. Now, don't think for one second that people aren't getting to platform. They totally are. I've had a number of my videos demonetized on Facebook just because they didn't like some of the stuff that I talked about. Or if I have too many things about guns in it, oh, people lose their minds. But the idea that they're responsible for Biden not fulfilling a promise for 70% of Americans vaccinated by July 4th. That's not Facebook's fault. I mean, that's not. In fact, they said, who was it? Facebook's vice president of integrity. And this is over. It's at about.fb for Facebook.com. And they have like a news tab that you can go to. They posted some of their data up and said their data showed that 85% of Facebook users in the U.S. have been or wanted to be vaccinated. And he said that President Biden can't blame Facebook as the reason his goal was missed. Interesting. No, but you can blame lack of transparency in data. For sure.
The weird, the unusual, and the hilarious. Check out Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
The virus doesn't care that we're sick of masks. Yeah. The virus is having another version of its wonderful party for itself. And to the degree that we can squash that by doing something that maybe is a little uncomfortable, a little inconvenient, it's not like we're asking people to go to the trenches with shooting war. We're just asking you, if it looks like it's going to help, put the mask back on for a while.
But does it though? Because if it does work, why didn't it work in California? Why are they dealing with an uptick? Because they were having
mask crazy there.
Yeah, but, and they're back with it.
But look at the states like Texas and Florida who lifted their mask mandates back in March and before this year. Mm-hmm. And everyone thought that they were going to be these huge super spreader states, and the data did not prove that.
The data didn't prove
it. Actually, it was quite opposite.
The SADS. There you go. Well, my heavens. The I have a, I wanted to play. I wanted to also play this soundbite for you here really quickly. Actually, can we drop this in Slack real quick? It's in general because we're going to talk about this in depth tomorrow. This is the White House Communications Director, Kate Bedingfield. I got a lot of heat last week for daring to suggest that the White House was actually going to go after, you know, even conservative sites. And listen to this, though. Today, I feel very vindicated.
Well, we're reviewing that, and certainly they should be held accountable. And I think you've heard the president speak very aggressively about this. He understands this is an important piece of the ecosystem. But it's also the other thing the president has pointed out and spoke to when he was asked about this yesterday is it is also the responsibility of the people creating the content. And again, I would go back to, you know, there are conservative news outlets who are creating irresponsible content that's sharing misinformation about the virus that's getting shared on these platforms.
Well, what is the misinformation? What exactly is it? Because lately it's been just even sharing or engaging in question and answer speculation. Okay.
3 weeks ago, it was misinformation to say that this was a lab-created virus. And now this week, it's definitely accepted that it was a lab-created virus. So what's misinformation? That's a great question.
Yeah. And see, it's like they're trying to cost these platforms their 230 protection against unprotected speech by acting like it doesn't exist, which is weird. All right, today in stupidity, Cam, we'll talk about that tomorrow. What do we have?
Well, actually, that we can use that soundbite today in stupidity because we're getting low on time. But again, this is about the narrative control. This has absolutely nothing to do with what's good information or bad information or just information. This is about exercising control on the public, and that's what this administration's doing.
There you go. Boy, oh boy. So, folks, we're going to dive into that tomorrow. Have a great night. I'll be back with you. No Fox primetime tonight. Just got the word. I'll be back with you tomorrow. God bless.